Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Hope the clouds aren't too gloomy on this. Well, it's going to be... warm though, relatively warm.
It's gonna be just 70s all day. Yeah, 71 all day.
70s overcast. You can make
that
work.
Perfect.
Yeah, you can make that work. Absolutely.
I wish we could live in not like a snow globe of it, but a globe of 70 degree weather.
That'd be good.
It's perfect.
Hawaii is typically like 70 sunny, but it's
perfect. 70. If it's cloudy and 70, then I can wear shorts and a hoodie. But otherwise. Everyone, like, it's nice weather. Mm-hmm. It's not terrible. You can go golf.
Right.
But you're not sweating when you're walking to, like, four holes later.
I felt that on Saturday.
See? I'm on to something here.
I was prepared very much so at 8 in the morning to be like, hey, you know what? Probably a little chilly. Let's, you know, pull up on the, we're going to wear a thin hoodie. I've become a very big thin hoodie guy.
Yes. Or a quarter zip.
I'm
addicted to quarter zips.
So I wore like.
I have a problem. My name is Derek Kramer, and I am addicted to quarter zips.
So I wore the thin. Because I didn't have a hoodie. So, I mean, it was just a thin quarter zip. Had the thin pants on. So we were good. By like hole five, I'm like, I've lost 6 pounds sweating.
Oh, well, that's a mistake wearing anything.
I was like, oh my gosh.
On Saturday, that's a mistake wearing anything long sleeves, man. Come on. Look at the numbers. The numbers got
him off. I thought I had time. I thought it was going to be all right. We'll have time. Like by the the back nine, I'll probably end up taking it off. Nope.
Hell, what I wear here after a two-hour show is dictated by me looking at my phone, seeing what the weather's like for today, and then, hey, what's it going to look like when I walk out of here at 1 o'clock?
Right, and then moving that away.
Yeah.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Mandatory minicamp coming up tomorrow, as this will be the last sort of news from the Bills until training camp end of July, early August. There are reports from Adam Schefter that we may not see James Cook for a while. There's also some fan reports that maybe he's already here and that he was on an airport, he's on a plane from JFK to Buffalo.
Are you really making me do this today?
Yeah.
You're making me do this. Fine.
We also have a report.
I'll talk about it kicking and screaming.
We also have a report from Jordan Schultz about 15 minutes ago. That, if you have not heard already, today the Packers did release Pro Bowl corner Jaire Alexander. It's not too surprising. There were rumblings they wanted to move him this year. He wanted to get moved. Their long-term extension hasn't been healthy for very long. But Jordan Schultz, NFL Insider, has reported that earlier this offseason there were trade discussions between the Packers and the Bills that ultimately fell through. And I'd imagine that's where the Bills then pivoted. If you're asking me, Bills pivoted to re-adding Dane Jackson, Trey White, and, of course, continuing on to go draft Maxwell Harrison. Now, Schultz has also mentioned, unclear if now that he's released, will the Bills then re-up their interest and just load up on corner? And like the Dark Knight scene with the Joker, breaks the pool stick in half and just kind of throws the three guys. Like, one is winning, and
one is winning.
Probably not, but I'd also be really interested if they did add him and go, all right, cool. It's going to be the best men win.
Yeah, and I do think that there is a there's something to it about the corners of just adding and adding and trying to strengthen the roster to a point where, like, I don't know. Like, for example, if the Harrison trade – or not the Harrison – if the Alexander trade happens, for example, right, do we get Max Harrison as the first-round pick? And my guess on that is probably not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they would reinvest in another corner because Alexander wants an extension. He wants a deal. If you were to acquire him, it would be with a contract extension if you were doing it through trade. Because that's what he's wanting. That's what camp is asking for. Ultimately, I think I'm glad it didn't work out. But I'm not drafting a corner then, too, in the same offseason that I've traded for Jair Alexander and signed Tre'Davious White and Dane Jackson. I'm just not. That's just a waste of an asset at that point.
Yeah, because that's the thing, too. Like, when they drafted Harrison, there was that feeling of, cornerback, too, they really haven't handled. It's a lot of guys on one-year deals. It's guys you aren't sure of, so they got to handle it.
You trade for Jair Alexander.
Yeah.
You have an answer.
Now, he's played 14 total games over the last 2 years.
I didn't say it was a good answer.
Yeah, right. So, I think that's probably where the trade talks fell through is the Bills were like, guys, we'll give you a fifth. We'll give you a sixth. Like, and the Packers are trying to get anything out of what used to be a very good player and one of my favorite corners
and
in the league.
A top-tier corner in the league who has been done in by injuries.
Yep. But I think it ultimately fell
through. The Bills re-signed Trey White, top-tier corner who was done in by injuries.
Yeah, ultimately, honestly, looking back
at it. How much of the same asset do you do? The answer is you don't.
Yeah. So that's kind of an interesting look into what they were trying to do this offseason. It's not unsurprising. The Bills very rarely want to go into a draft with a desperate need. Funny enough, it has kind of always turned out to be corner when they do have one. Quarterback notwithstanding, that's when you draft a quarterback, that is because you need one.
Right. And there's only one time that they did that, though.
Yeah. Usually the Bills like to go into these drafts having some sort of answer at the position that if the board does not fall their way, they are not sitting there with their hands empty or the chairs all taken and they're going, oh, we don't have a spot this year. You know, they don't like to go into that corner.
Except for one.
Yeah, corner happens to be the position, though, that when it does happen, it happens. Kyer Elam and Christian Benford that year a few years ago. And then even, I would say, this year when they go and draft Harrison and Dorian Strong.
And you forget
Hancock as well.
Dorian Hancock.
So they drafted three guys. Hancock ultimately seems like he's probably going to be more towards the safety. But when they drafted him, it was a third corner.
Ready? The scouting report screams Cam Lewis competition, mark?
So, I mean, they loaded up on the corner position at the draft. I think they still probably do something similar-ish. I think you're right, though, that maybe they don't go Hairston in round one because the value of the position wouldn't be as high. But maybe you do see a trade-up to go get a defensive tackle. Or is that where maybe they overreach a little bit, but they go TJ Sanders, a guy that they trade up pretty high in the second round to go get. Maybe they just go, we'll trade back early second round. We'll take him there.
Yeah.
Or they just take him where they were in the first round. It maybe doesn't change too
much.
It's
a different
maybe
story,
Harrison
for example.
Just isn't on the team.
Yeah, and that's probably just all it is at that point. Because when we were getting to pick 30, I remember we were kind of lamenting what the defensive tackle position was looking like for your first round caliber players. Tylee Williams literally got taken the pick before, or two picks before,
and
by
that was
Detroit.
And that was a bit surprising for me, at least.
Yeah, and that was one where it's like, okay, so that was the one that Sal mocked that at 30, and we're like, okay, that's the last one I would viably take in the first round that is not there now. Awesome. So what are you going to do here? Oh, corner, and all three of us looked at each other and went, every corner is available.
Yeah. Well, our big thing was talking about Will Johnson out of Michigan. Like, he keeps falling. What's going on?
Right.
Ravel, of course, is still there. He doesn't get taken, I think, until the third round, if I remember correctly.
Harrison, same with Amos.
Of course. Amos as well. I mean, ultimately, that corner made sense that night. I think that would have
made sense, and who it was at corner also made sense because Harrison was the last more or less
elite trade guy.
Not even elite trade guy, but also for sure fringe first or second rounder.
Yeah.
The others had a lot of variance on where they could go from
Well, yeah, if they dropped out of the first round, it could be okay. They could go. They could go now. They could go in the third round.
It could be in the middle of the second round. It could be all the way into the third round. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But
it is funny though, thinking about it. Let's say they trade for Jaire Alexander and the draft falls the same way. Bills are probably sitting there going like, "Damn, we have our pickings of the one position we maybe don't need right now."
And that would be the ultimate irony in all of that. If you traded for Alexander and you're like, "Okay, we're set at corner," and then the draft board's looking like that. Well, also, you had 10 draft picks. You might have moved up for something else that you would have wanted.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing. If the Bills made that trade, my guess is they have to go up and get something because they're seeing the board falling the way that it is and going, I don't love something like this right now.
Right. Right.
Or it could have been edge rusher because there were a good amount of them to pick, too.
Landon Jackson was a guy that ultimately they take in round three, but there was or late round two?
It was round three. You were right.
Round three. There was rumblings 2 weeks before the draft that Landon Jackson could absolutely have been a first-round pick for the Bills by a lot of mock drafts. That wouldn't been. It was not something I loved value-wise, but it would have been something I would have kind of put my hands up and going, all right, it makes sense.
Yeah, and the other part of it would just be finally, I feel like they would have went and figured out something else with the first round. And who knows what that would have been. Mm-hmm. If it's a trade-up, the ultimate irony in this is, maybe it would have been a wide receiver. You find out that like you're set at corner, so you're not sitting there at 30 waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's corner, or maybe it's a wide receiver. I don't know. The ultimate irony in what happened in this universe that we are talking about, that we are in.
Yep.
In another one that they trade for Jaire Alexander, they're set at corner.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, certain comments aren't made. But I like where we are.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
It's fun.
I'm excited for this team.
It's fun.
I'm really excited for mandatory minicamp tomorrow. I think even if James Cook didn't show up, I'm really interested to see how the rookies perform and where that's all at. It seems like there are good rumblings around of a lot of players. I saw Matt Perino put up a piece today, too, about Keon Coleman talking with Joe Brady. Coleman himself, I believe, as well, and kind of how he's looked a lot better. He's getting much more rave reviews than I would say mm-hmm. this time last year, which – look, you don't need a
good.
Rookie. Yeah, you don't need a rookie to be like, oh my gosh, he's changing the team. You don't need that. But for him to be coming in year two, after the start of the offseason being a lot of rumblings of, hey, yeah, he really didn't handle post-injury very well. We need more from him. We need this. We need that. To hear that the coaches are talking positive about him is really good. Of course, I've mentioned a lot Elijah Moore. He seems to be hitting really well, kind of hitting the ground running with Josh and the chemistry there. And then, of course, on the defensive side of things, I haven't heard too much about Hairston, but I also say I haven't heard anything bad, which is probably good. TJ Sanders, it seems like he's done really well. The few clips I've seen from Landon Jackson, good.
Yeah, I think that...
It's also OTAs, can't take too much from it.
Yeah, you can't take too much from much of any of this. Even, ready? What do we do every year? This is something like, I feel like we're all... There's a little bit of a sickness in football fans. It's just that... You're missing football content so much that you take words of camp of like, this guy looks really good in practice. Mm-hmm. This guy looks like really good in a couple reps here. Here's a highlight reel thing. Unfortunately, that data gets processed in a way that it should not. We here every year do the preseason pledge. The preseason, obviously, games that are ultimately meaningless in a way because... Jamar Chase looked like...
I couldn't catch.
Cheeks.
Yeah, he couldn't catch.
In the preseason. He has become probably the best wide receiver in the National Football League.
Triple crown winner last year, yeah.
Nothing, and I mean nothing, should be taken away from any of this. Positive, negative, and this is an indirect shot at you, Mr. Zachary Jones, about a certain Elijah Moore. Nothing that we talk about for the next couple of months matters. None of it at all.
I mean, you say what you want.
And am I putting a wet blanket on the only content that we have for legitimately 3 months? Yes.
You say what you want.
And am I going to
say Wednesday, Thursday? If I get an Elijah Moore pop tweet, I'm losing my mind.
But ready? Am I also going to have to ignore that? Yes, I have a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
But emotionally, I'm not going to take anything out of this. I don't want to say I don't care. That's not mm-hmm. the case. I know I cannot weigh this properly.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing of value that can go against it statistically.
Mm-hmm.
there's nothing of value in the standings that is going to do anything about this. The things that I will properly freak out about are injury.
Yeah. It's stuff that will ultimately end up hurting the regular
season. That's the list.
Yeah.
That's the list. If someone looks cool in OTAs, somebody looks cool in minicamp, hell, somebody looks cool in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
If I see it consistently, then there might be something there. But I don't need the, oh, hey, Elijah Moore just had a 40-yard bomb from Josh Allen where he beat Dane Jackson.
I mean, you don't need it. I do.
I don't need that. I'm okay.
And I think that is the difference between us. That, they signed Elijah Moore. No, my head immediately went to, there's your wide receiver.
That's not just between us. I know it's different from a vast majority of football fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that. I understand that. And I'm not asking you to be like me on that. I'm a sicko, okay? I can bounce back the next day.
I can bounce back.
No, I know.
For me, it's weird because
football... But I also know that, like, football fans, like, there's an attachment. Like, there are people, like, they're Monday, they're definitely... Even here, like, we're a little bit more miserable covering the team.
Yep. After a loss. Yeah.
I'm good, like, 5 minutes after, man.
Mm-hmm.
Life marches on. There's bigger things to worry about.
That's fair. I've got,
and I know better. That I'm not, and I know that I'm not everybody in that case.
Mm-hmm. I've gotten better. Working with the team, I've gotten better with the Bills. Texas losses still hurt like a week later.
Yeah, but again, I know that I'm not the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to shame anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It is just to say the words coming out of my mouth, don't take them too seriously either.
Yeah.
Everything we say in the next 3 months is conjecture.
Pretty much. 803-0550.
Really nihilistic segment we got going on here today.
803-0550, the number to call. One storyline we may have tomorrow, and it may end even tomorrow as well, which could lead into what are we going to talk about for the next 3 months? James Cook. There was a report over the weekend from Adam Schefter. We talked about it last week, the idea of is Cook going to be a mandatory minicamp, and what would that mean for us? And Derek, I think ultimately both of us landed on, look, does it become a story? Yes. Does it matter? Not until training camp. If he does not report to training camp, then we've got something more serious, especially with him kind of putting his career into very precarious waters, I would say, if he doesn't show up to training camp. But mandatory minicamp, I think it's just more rumblings more than anything, but he may not be the only guy that's not showing up to mandatory minicamp.
Terry McLaurin
of Washington, I think, is absolutely trending that way. And he even showed up to OTAs and left. And then I think maybe the biggest one, because it's been going on the longest, Trey Hendrickson for Cincinnati. On a defensive unit that desperately needs him, and even when he's there, is not a great unit. He spoke for 20 minutes with the media, trashed the organization, the whole thing. I heard Joe and Jeremy talking about this morning.
Yeah.
I think it's almost for sure he's not showing up. And if he does, he certainly ain't working. And if anything, he's going to talk to the media more. I'd even say this too. If James Cook shows up tomorrow and is not working on the field, I don't care. That's fine. He's here with the team. Great. Perfect. If he's not here, fine. We are going to talk about it for, what was it, 5-6 weeks leading up to training camp. And
like
the hope
I said,
that he'll be there for training camp.
Kicking and screaming, I will talk about this, but I don't want to.
But there is something. We were looking at it today before the show of just, you know, where is his value? I think there are some segment of Bills fans that really have his value high, a top five player in terms of importance on the team as a whole, top two on the offense. And then there are others who really downplay his importance. Ray Davis will take over and will not miss a beat. It's all the offensive line. We don't need James Cook. His 16 touchdowns last year, going to turn into three. You know, like, and I'm being a little bit hyperbolic when I say that, but there are two aggressive camps.
There are two aggressive camps, mm-hmm. and neither of them are the majority of fans. They're just the loudest.
Mm-hmm. They're just the loudest.
Which is what happens in every sort of aspect of life. There's a lot of people that are just going to be in the middle of, okay, I'd rather you be here because I know you're not, I know that you're important. You're not like the most important thing. The Bills have Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
But it would hurt the offensive production to not have James Cook.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be a fool to think otherwise. Really. Why do you think he's looking for more money? It is because he is good at his job. That's the simple fact. And I'm going to say this again. I said it on Saturday. I'm going to say it again. Zach, I'm going to be sitting in this chair talking into this microphone tomorrow when the story either dies entirely until February, or I'm going to have a headache for 3 months. Well, 2 months, because training camp.
Yep.
I'd rather not have a headache for 2 months. And I've got a growing suspicion that it's not going to be that way. I don't think James Cook is going to do anything that will actively cost him money when he is looking for money. And also, the Le'Veon Bell saga is a very cautionary tale of what not to do.
Yeah,
could there be
it ended his career, essentially. He gets money from the Jets, but not nearly what he was looking for at all.
Not nearly what he was looking for, not nearly what he was even offered from Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
He costs himself and a lot of running backs, actually, because the minute he shows up, he stinks.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so I'm never taking any of you seriously for holding out any more running backs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you want to sit out a whole year, you're going to lose a whole year of production that you could have had.
Yeah.
You want to sit out a year of the prime of your career? Okay,
go ahead.
Fine by me. We're not going to be cost money for this. Le'Veon Bell did a lot of damage to running backs with the holdout and then the lack of production afterward. But more importantly than that, there are other examples now, like Jonathan Taylor in Indianapolis, mm-hmm. where it was a hold-in.
Yeah, he was there. He was He was in a camper for a while.
Yeah,
with now deceased owner Jim Irsay.
Yeah, and then Irsay made those comments.
That was a whole saga. You could also look though, and this is going to be something I think a lot of Bills fans are going to do. You can look to James Cook's brother Dalvin and his situation. He does get paid after 3 years, mm-hmm. in which it was steady increase in yards, in carries, in touchdowns, everything, and going into the 2020 season, he signs a 5-year. $63 million contract extension with the Vikings. That was on September 12th. Going into the year, he signs the big deal.
But he also did not actively hold out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that James Cook is going to play it the same way.
Now, he did forego participation in team activities. I think he was there for most of them. He just didn't do it. That was the hold-ins.
And ready?
Yeah.
That's a hold-in. That is more recent example of negotiating tactic.
Mm-hmm.
I expect a hold-in. I do not expect a hold-out. I expect to hold in.
Yeah.
I expect James Cook to not be there and then be charged money mm-hmm. to not be there.
And that's where, because I think a lot of people assume he's getting his P's and Q's from Dalvin. Dalvin's not going to tell him, hey, don't go to training camp. It'll be,
go to training camp.
You be a good teammate. You're there. You constantly are putting on the best face possible. Because, I mean, he gets contract extension literally before the season starts. And that year, 2020, is by far Dalvin's best season. 1,500 yards, 16 touchdowns. He's great. And even after the extension as well, Minnesota might, you know, have a little bit of issues. But in those 5 years, three of them, he has 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
He's over 1,000 yards. His best season is still 2020, and he never – that's the only year he touches past 1,200. But Dalvin Cook was still a pretty darn good running back. But for me, the 2020 Minnesota Vikings, or really the Minnesota Vikings in general, they're not what the Bills are. That 2020 team that he ultimately runs for 1,500 yards on goes 7-9.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a team led by Case Keenum and Kirk Cousins. They're not apples to oranges with the Bills with Josh Allen at quarterback.
And the problem is that with James Cook's situation is the position league wide is still very diminished.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not anyone's fault. It's a tough reality to be in if I'm James Cook. It hurts. But you think we should get connected with our fans real quick?
Let's do it. Let's get connected to our fans. And that is brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com.
Good amount of responses on the tweet from you at ZacharyJones198 on Twitter. Steve, he will be at minicamp. He may not practice, but he will be in attendance. I agree wholeheartedly with what Steve tweets in on this one, on the response. He may not practice, but he'll be there. And that counts. That counts as him being there.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that I would be absolutely here for. Brandon tweeting in, I won't be worried until week one at 8:20 p.m. and he's not in uniform. Even then, they'll have had time to figure out how to adjust if Cook is not there. I don't think we're waiting until week one if he's not like healthily in training camp and actually participating in something at some point.
I do think Brandon's somewhat brave there.
Yeah.
I do.
But it's hyperbolic in a case of, mm-hmm. I'm not, like, that's how little I'm worried. And I appreciate that kind of cool, that kind of composure.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. He's being hyperbolic in a sense of, or at least I think he is. I can't speak for him, but I get a read of, I'm not worried at all. And even then, if he's not there, the Bills have time to adjust and figure it out.
Right. Yeah. Well, and
maybe even
and,
sign a street free agent.
And that is fair to bring up. That let's say, for argument's sake, let's say he's not at training camp, not at mandatory minicamp. Then for all of training camp, it's your show, Ray. Ty, you're now no longer just the third down running back. You're RB2.
They're signing somebody to be competition for third running back with Frank Gore Jr.
I was going to say, or does a lot of fans get their dream in Frank Gore Jr.? You're running back three.
Yeah.
And we're going to figure out snap count here.
They'll bring in another free agent from there.
And so to Brandon's point, that is probably right that, like, well, if he doesn't do that, and this is also, and again, this is where I would think it'd be incredibly naive for Cook to do this. They will figure it out without you, and they will probably be successful. Maybe not 30 points a game successful, but if they put up 29 points per game, Ray Davis is an 800-yard rusher, 900-yard rusher. Congratulations, you played yourself.
Yeah. Mike D just tweeting into us, not worried at all. I'd actually be more worried if they pay him a ton of money. He's good, but you can find other good running backs. Rather spend that money someplace else, and that is more or less the reality of the cap situation and running back valuation in the National Football League.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number two call. If you want to get on this James Cook conversation, will you be worried if he is not in attendance for mandatory minicamp starting tomorrow? But coming up after a quick timeout, it is Monday, and we're 5 minutes to 10:30. That means Sal Marana of the Democrat and Chronicle and publisher of the Pinstripe People Yankee newsletter will join the show next. The Yankees dropped 2 of 3 to the Boston Red Sox. Did not look great for much of the series. We'll get Sal's thoughts on that after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer hanging here.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
On the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and a little bit of an overcast Monday, we've got Stanley Cup Final Game 3 tonight at 8 o'clock. That game is going to also be right here on WGR with coverage beginning at 7:30. And coverage of the Stanley Cup Final is presented by Figo Carr and Joyce, your board of attorneys, and brought to you in part by Window Nation, the perfect fit for your home and wallet. We'll get to hockey here in just a little while, but did have some very big baseball this weekend. The Yankees have had a lot of like big time matchups over the last few weeks. Dodgers, they're playing good baseball. They're putting on a good run. Did not have a very good weekend against their biggest rival, Boston Red Sox. 3 games, they lose 2 of them. They give up 10 runs and 11 runs in those losses. And for more on that, we go to the Western Hotline as Sal Marana of the Democrat and Chronicle and publisher of the Pinstripe People's Yankees newsletter joins us here on the show. Sal, good morning. I hope your weekend was not ruined by the Yankees.
Well, they certainly didn't help my weekend. I'll put it
that
way.
They tried their best.
It was not a fun baseball weekend. They just didn't play well. And you know, Boston, no matter how good or bad Boston is, and this year they haven't been very good, they always give the Yankees trouble. And I'm sure Red Sox fans say the same thing about the Yankees. It's just the way the rivalry is. These teams, you know, it isn't the 2003, 4, 5, you know, back then when the rivalry was without question the greatest in sports.
Mm-hmm.
It's cooled off a lot since then. But these teams still like to beat each other. There's no doubt. And the Red Sox got the best of the Yankees. Just a bad weekend for the team that's in first place. And I think last time I talked to you guys last week, if it was last week, whoever it was, you or Sal, the Yankees were seven games up, and all of a sudden they're 4.5 up. They did not have a good week of baseball.
Yeah, it has not played off well for them. Sal, I'm glad you mentioned the quote unquote the glory years and even that run of robberies. This weekend, I've watched it before, but on Netflix they have that documentary that is starred by like Theo Epstein for the Red Sox talking about the 2003-04 season. It's weird. I mean, I was a little kid during that, but it is one of those things with that rivalry in particular. Like, those years are so highly talked about. The arms race between the two teams, the rivalries, the playoff matchups. It really is something. I, personally, while yes, was there, was such a little kid, it feels like you had to kind of just be there to understand it, though.
Yeah, that was the best rivalry in baseball, bar none. And like I said, I would argue – across all sports, that was at least at that particular time, there was no rivalry in sports that was quite like it. The teams, I mean, it's not too often that teams hate each other, especially in this day and age when these guys all share agents and everything else. I mean, everybody's buddy-buddy these days. But those teams legitimately did not like each other, and it just added drama every time they played. And it also helped that, both teams were great. The Yankees went to the World Series in 2003, the Red Sox went in 2004, and every game they played was like Armageddon. It was so fun to watch it and follow it so closely as I did, obviously. I mean, I did a whole project. It wasn't quite a book project. It was an online project about those two seasons. And just amazing games, amazing times. And, hey, maybe we'll get back to there at some point. I don't know, this kid for the Red Sox yesterday, the rookie pitcher.
I saw,
He's saying if the Yankees were the last team in the world, I would retire before I signed with them. Well, stuff like that, fuels a little bit of the rivalry. Maybe it comes back. I don't know if it'll ever get back to where it was. But, yeah, Boston and New York, they don't like each other pretty much in anything, and especially Yankees-Red Sox.
And they did have three games this weekend. As we mentioned, the Yankees lost two of them, the final two as well. And so, Sal, jump into this, because I saw you say, you even said it just here, it was a bad week of baseball. What has happened with the Yankees? I mean, I saw a Judge, had two home runs last night as well. Is it just the pitching has not been well there? I mean, 10, 11 runs in two straight games, not good.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, guys, they had pitched really well this season. I mean, in spring training, when they lost Gerrit Cole and then Luis Gil, and then Clark Schmidt wasn't even going to be healthy for the start of the year. I did not have high hopes, A, for the pitching staff, and B, for the team in general. I didn't know how they were going to overcome that. And they have played and pitched way above my expectations so far this year. But this past weekend, it all kind of hit home that they are fragile in certain areas, especially in their rotation. Will Warren, who got the win on Friday, but didn't pitch well. Clark Schmidt is inconsistent. And then on the weekend, Ryan Yarbrough, he's been a great story for the Yankees. But as I wrote in the newsletter this morning, that was a game I kind of figured he was going to get lit up. Because remember, the Red Sox have seen him a ton when he played for Tampa Bay. All of his junk and off-speed stuff wasn't going to fool them, and they lit him up. I mean, it was ugly. And then Sunday, Carlos Rodon had been great. And he was actually really good the first 4 2/3 innings, and then it all fell apart. So, yeah, the Red Sox unmasked some underlying problems that the Yankees have, and their bullpen, too, was just not good. They don't have Luke Weaver for the next at least month, and that knocks everyone up a notch that maybe they shouldn't be up, right? I mean, that's the case the Yankees are dealing with, and they got bad performances up and down the bullpen all weekend.
And speaking of the weekend and the Red Sox as well, it's not a long wait for them to play each other again. You guys get Kansas City for three games this week, and then it's back to it Friday, Saturday, Sunday, this time just in Boston. Do you like that, or do you like a little bit more breathing room between these games?
Well, yeah, it's fine. It's a little surprising that it took until the first weekend in June for them to meet for the first time this year. You'd like to see them maybe once a month. They play four times, actually. So, once every month would be fine. But this is fine. This actually, guys, this is how you kind of get the rivalry going again, right? When you play all these games almost in a row. Things stay fresh in your mind. I guarantee you the Yankees are going to go to Fenway next week. They might see this Dobbins kid, I guess, if the rotation's lined up. Maybe he'd pitch Saturday in Fenway. So they're going to see the kid again. Hey, another opportunity to shove it down his throat. So, yeah, I think it might be actually good for rivals to play so many games in a short period of time.
Sal Mariano joining us on the Western Hotline here. Sal, the last time I asked this question a month ago, the Rockies doubled their win total. There wasn't even a win against the Yankees. Credit to them there. I'm still fascinated with what it is about the Rockies, but they sweep a series with the Marlins. You see the very sad state of affairs there with the stadium in Florida. And it got one of our own, Brian Colesfield, to really start asking this question on Saturday of, like, what would happen if, for example, the Marlins were to move, for example, be relocated here to up to Buffalo or something of the sort, and more or less, like, it's the bad or sorry state, I should say, of small market teams in the MLB. Are we looking at, in like a couple of years, the trajectory of where there might be some sort of salary cap that has to be introduced because of the way that the small market teams, their life, their window of life with competitiveness is very small and very infrequent?
Yeah, I hear that talk all the time about salary cap. I just don't think it would work in baseball, quite frankly. I don't think they need a salary cap. What they need is for these billionaire owners, and every owner in MLB is a billionaire, to start spending money. Now, I understand there are small markets like Pittsburgh, and they don't have the same revenue streams that the Yankees and Red Sox do, you know, the big market teams. But you know what? These guys are all billionaires. Go spend the money. If you want to win, spend money and make your team, you know, competitive. And these guys refuse to do that. Now, I will say in Colorado, the owner there, Dick Monfort, he has spent money. Problem with the Rockies is they've just spent it terribly.
Yeah.
I mean, just awful. I mean, Nolan Arenado is a great player, but that was a ridiculous contract that they gave him. And then they go out and get Chris Bryant a couple of years ago, who, you know, I'm also a Cubs fan. He'll be a hero forever to Cubs fans because of the 2016 World Series, but that he was in no way worth what the Rockies gave him, and he's been, you know, a below average player ever since. They've spent money poorly, which is part of their problem. Pittsburgh just won't spend any money. Same with the Marlins. The Marlins constantly just want to tear it down and try to make money the cheap way, and you can't really do that. So I don't think a salary cap fixes it. I think they need more proactive owners who care about winning and then go out and spend money properly and build your team that way.
Maybe a salary floor should be proposed then, like a cap floor.
That wouldn't be a terrible idea because, you know, with the revenue sharing in baseball, you know, the big market teams like the Yankees, the Dodgers, who spend over the luxury tax, you know, then all that money gets filtered down to these small market teams, and they're just putting it in their pocket. You know, if they would take the money that they get every year from revenue sharing, because the big market teams are always above the luxury tax, and actually spent that on their team, maybe they would be more competitive rather than putting it into their pocket so they can go develop land around the ballpark or, you know, spend it on other ventures that they have. Spend it on your team, and maybe you'd win some more games.
I like the idea of the salary floor too, because I, you know, I'm sitting here wondering too how much of an appetite baseball would have for a salary cap, especially when your big markets, the big, you know, draws are the ones winning. Like it's not like they're having an issue where it's like, oh man, all right, Miami and Pittsburgh are the only teams that are winning. You know, the Yankees are terrible, Dodgers suck. No, I mean the Dodgers, Yankees, Boston, Chicago, Detroit now as well this year. Like they're all really competitive. They're good. They're spending money. I think the salary floor might be the one that they'd be interested in. Salary cap, don't hamstring the big teams that are getting in all the ratings for you. I think that's probably where baseball would sit with it.
You just said exactly what I was going to say. Don't think for a second that MLB isn't thrilled that the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Mets, the Phillies, the Cubs, these are all playoff teams right now. Those are the big markets. Those are the ones that, you know, like you said, draw the ratings and make the money. They love, I mean, the NBA right now. I mean, I don't follow the NBA at all. I could care less. But I do know enough that Indiana and Oklahoma City are playing in the finals. And those are two small market teams that I'm sure the NBA is like, oh, man, why can't it be
Lakers-Knicks or Celtics. And you know what I mean? I mean, I'm sure they're not exactly thrilled. Same with the NHL, man. I mean, Edmonton, great story. Connor McDavid. You really think the NHL is thrilled that it's Edmonton and Miami or Florida, whatever, you know? I mean, really, are they thrilled by that? Probably not. They would love to have the Leafs against, you know, whoever in the West. I mean, it's just MLB loves the fact that their big market teams are the best teams in the sport.
Kind of shows you why the NFL is king, because it's cute when small market teams like a Kansas City have a run of dominance, and Buffalo is a top-tier team, and the NFL is able to not only survive but thrive pitching those teams out there. The NFL being king is one of those things. And I think that's the best transition I'm going to get for this one, Sal, of minicamp starting tomorrow for the Buffalo Bills. I hate having to talk about a James Cook storyline. It could end effectively tomorrow if he shows up. But other than that, or if that is your main focus, what's the big thing you're looking for Bills minicamp starting up tomorrow?
Yeah, nothing.
Yes.
As I've said to you guys probably, and anybody who asks me, I think all of this offseason stuff is a bunch of nonsense. I mean, I understand why they have to do it, but I take nothing from it. I don't care about anything that happens in these touch football practices. As long as nobody gets hurt doing something, that's really all I care about when it comes to this stuff. So, yeah, wake me up when training camp starts and things start becoming real. When, you know, the season is upon us, now you've got to pick your roster. There's competition. That's what I'm waiting for. So, yeah, to me, the James Cook storyline is really the only thing that I'll be looking for, except for whatever Josh tells us about his wedding. That'll be fun if he shares a few details about how much fun that was. Otherwise, I'm sorry, guys.
No,
I'm the curmudgeon in the room when it comes to covering the Bills beat. All the guys know it. You know, they're all into this, you know, mini camps and OTAs and tweeting this and that. I just don't care about any of it until July 23rd or 4th, whatever it's going to be.
Sal, I don't think you realize you and Derek are basically on the exact same wavelength here.
I was going to say, did you listen to me last segment? What happened here?
Yeah, it's just, you know, we in the media are partially to blame for it too.
For sure.
Because we decided somewhere along the way that this was all important stuff and had to be covered wall to wall. And, you know, we play a role in it. But the NFL eats the attention up, and I just kind of don't want to give it the attention. I'm all over this beat from the end of July until whenever the Bills are done. I get back on it, you know, with free agency and the draft. But this period right here, this OTA minicamp stuff, really makes me want to scream sometimes.
It is a absolute grind.
I'm just so happy I'm not alone. Thank you for my validation here, Sal.
Well, I'll tell you what, we are on our own island, though, because –
Oh, yeah, I know it's not popular.
So many in the media think it's important and great, and I know the fans eat it up. I mean, that's partially why we do it, is because the fans will read and watch and listen to anything we put out there and then trash your opinion along the way, of course. So it's all part of it. It's all part of it,
that's
and I get it. I'm just telling you that it is not the favorite part of my year.
And then here's me, like, I'm waiting with bated breath on the first Elijah Moore tweet. That's all I need. That's all I need to get through the week.
That's why I said it, and I'm glad that I've got Sal in my corner on this one. Sal, it's going to be a lonely fight, but here we are.
we are. We're on our own on this one, but I'm okay. I'll die on that hill if I have to.
All right, Sal, thanks so much for jumping on with us. Enjoy the week. We'll talk again soon.
All right, guys. Take care.
That was Sal Marana on the West Her Hotline of the Democrat and Chronicle. He also, of course, does have his Yankees Pinstripe newsletter. Let me get that Pinstripe of the People Yankees newsletter. Yankees, of course, by the time he'll next be on the show with Sal on Monday, will play the Red Sox again, which I agree with Sal's point there as well. I want to get his thoughts on, like, you know, hey, there's really no room to breathe here. You guys have a Kansas City series, and then they're back at it. But he's right. I mean, like, that's how you get the rivalry going. It's how you have the storylines that stay in the media. A lot of fun there as well. And, Derek, I'm really glad you're not alone.
And I don't, like, I'm glad I've got someone that shares the opinion on it. I mean, but the thing is that I also do know that I have a job to do. And
right, I got to cover it. It doesn't mean I have to be happy about
Sal
it.
Sal did say, we are part of the problem. And, yeah, I know. And I'm going to have to keep doing it. But you know what? It is what it is at this point.
We'll get through it. You'll get through it.
We'll all get through
it. Again, I seen Elijah Moore tweet. I'm going to pop off.
I know. I'm just here to tell you to calm down.
803-0550, the number to call. Do want to jump on the Stanley Cup Finals as well. We talked a little bit there about the ratings with Sal, but these first two games have been exceptional. We'll talk about Game 3 coming up tonight after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show right here on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ryan for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you will receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. Not a rider, you can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com for details. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Happy Monday?
No. Don't ever say that.
Yeah, is it just kind of like it's Monday?
It's Monday.
Yeah. I've been there too with the good morning or just morning. Like yeah. There are sometimes like I'm not gonna hit you with a good morning.
Happy Monday for the first Monday night football.
Not. Oh yeah, well, that's probably one of them, right? First Monday night football game, happy Monday. You know?
I'll accept it there and Mondays that people have off.
Oh yeah. The holidays for Mondays. We got the 3-day weekend.
That's it.
A happy Monday. Yeah, it's probably fair.
Ultimately, outside of that, if you tell that to our listeners, everyone's gonna stare at you and go, no, it's not a happy Monday. Get out of here.
I think
with this
especially
nonsense.
Me where like I complain about the weather and the days of the week.
Yeah. Like It's a meme that I cannot repeat anything that's said, but Elmo's screaming into a mirror about Happy Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say any other words from it.
Tuesday is still the worst day of the week, though. I have not gone on that rant yet. I don't think I've gone
easily
on that
the worst day
ready?
Of the week.
Tuesday is better because it's not Monday.
Tuesday is worse because there's nothing to look forward to.
It's not Monday. You're a day closer.
No, yeah, but here, Monday I had Sunday the day before.
Yep.
I got to maybe relax. I got to sleep in, what have you. But I had that. Tuesday... I just had Monday, and then I've got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday coming up.
Yeah.
Tuesday's a tough spot.
No, that is...
Tuesday's a tough spot, man.
Tuesday is better than Monday because of simply forward progression. Outside of the days where there's a Monday holiday. Then Tuesday is worse.
Forward progression, it's thin.
Dude, progression's progression, man.
It's thin.
The only thing you have to look forward to on a Tuesday is, hey, Wednesday's hump day, and then I'll only have two more days after that.
Right,
but
right.
Again, it's a mindset thing.
Sure.
You guys aren't in the right mindset.
It's a Tuesday. We're in a negative mindset.
Tuesday is better than Monday simply because it's not Monday.
No.
Keep it simple.
I can't get there.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Nope.
Cannot get there.
That's the saying.
803-0550, the number to call. Going to take another quick timeout here. When we come back, we will be talking about the Stanley Cup Final tonight at 8 o'clock, Game 3. Game 3 will also be able to be heard right here on WGR with our coverage presented by Figo Car and Joyce Shore Border Attorneys and brought to you in part by Window Nation, the perfect fit for your home and wallet. We'll be right back.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.